be honest with you, Wendy. I'm not shocked by this choice that Kevin has made to start the week.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I need something to spark me on a Monday, not like
Kevin, play this faster.
Maybe some Eruption, Van Halen, or something.
Yeah,
you want a little bit
work.
Of that? Let's start over. You want to start over?
Yeah, can we start over?
Start over.
Give me a minute. Give me a minute.
Hold on a second. We'll start over. This you will not be charged for this portion of the show. This is gratis. This is totally free.
Yeah, it was too mellow for
a
Monday.
It was a little,
I know you're trying to ease us into the work week, but I need to be rocked into the work week.
Sure, understood. Right, here it is. We'll start over. This is the way that Wally Phillips for years used to start the Monday show with this.
All right, this is working.
Now we're starting. This is it. Now we've got something. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bill.
As you can tell by the Van Halen, it's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. It's the Monday version of our show. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call in or if you remember
this
Van Halen.
This is the
Halen.
Best part.
This part is?
Yep.
That is pretty impressive. Can I tell you, I know so little about music, I don't even know what instrument that thing was.
Guitar.
Thing
that went,
wow.
You know that's the Crybaby Wah pedal.
Is that the Crybaby Wah?
Can I tell you, I was at my health club yesterday, turned on the Food Network.
Yeah.
Valerie Bertinelli has a cooking show.
Oh, does she really?
She doesn't.
Yeah.
How come you don't have one, Bertrand?
Oh, I do. No one watches. I just do it at home.
Well, can you give me some recipes of yours? Because I have total burnout. I make the same thing all the time. It's like whenever you go to somebody else's house, they have better stuff in the refrigerator.
I made a very nice chilled avocado soup last week.
Oh, that sounds a little healthy.
A corn salsa with grilled shrimp.
Wow, that's gourmet.
No one in my house will eat it, but my wife will. But
I have to be honest, I'm not positive I would eat any of the things you
just described.
I don't like cold soup. I'm not a borscht girl.
Well, don't ask then, okay? You wanted recipes. That's a good one.
Well, I mean, you know, don't you have your tried and true, like I make chicken devon all the time.
What is chicken devon?
It's just boneless, skinless chicken breasts that I...
Like devon, is it represented by 15 different nations? Like Devon Avenue is?
No, this is D-I-V-A-N.
Oh.
Devon.
Is it in a John Waters movie?
No.
What's that reference to?
Divine.
Oh. The late, great Divine.
It's just chicken, broccoli, cheese, and those jerky onions in a casserole.
No. I would never eat that.
No. Really?
Nope.
It's delicious.
This in mine.
Nope.
No, I would eat your... I just don't like cold soup. Soup's meant to be hot.
I'm kind of with you on that. I don't think I've ever had good cold soup.
I do the grilled shrimp with you, Bertrand, but the cold, you know.
Fine. The grilled shrimp is dipped in the cold soup.
but the grilled shrimp would retain some of the heat, so it would be room temperature.
Room temperature soup is nasty.
You want it a little more hot than not.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Silky quality to it.
It sounds high end.
Hint of lime. It's
it does
not.
Have a high end.
It's just
it's been working out.
I'm going to have to call personnel.
But you know, you go to someone else's house. I don't know if you went to someone's house after school when you used to go, and it's like everything was new and exciting.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like, don't you get the same thing in your refrigerator all the time? I'm just bored with my...
Well, yeah, because you tend to get what people in the family like.
But you need to experiment. Like if you went in Bertrand's refrigerator right
I'd
now...
I'd get lost. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd call 911. I'm the only member of my family that has not taken to drinking, and this is on a daily basis. My wife started it, and then Kylie followed suit, and now Reese. They drink what they call the green shakes, which is like grass clippings and yogurt is what it is.
Remember when Marianne Marciano used to make Bob Surratt drink those every day, and he gagged them down?
Yeah.
I know they're good for you. I know Dave's into them.
Yeah. Dave Ennett does enjoy them. And my family, every day, they offer me some. Just a little.
It's like cold soup. That's what they're drinking.
It's worse than cold soup.
I'd rather have Bertrand's cold soup.
I would much rather, too.
Oh, that makes me feel good.
If there were two plates in front of us, one with Steve's cold soup and the other with these green shakes or green smoothies, I can't do it.
Well, if they were on plates, they'd be all over the table because they're both liquid.
Right.
Have you tried it, Bill?
No.
They're not good.
I can tell they're not good.
So why don't you just eat the kale and the banana? I mean, I'd rather eat those things separately. I know it would take you longer.
You get so much good food concentrated in one glass. It's great.
You can't swallow it, though.
It does not
take
look
that,
good.
Take that, Nick DiGilio.
It does not smell good.
Yeah.
There's nothing
good for you.
There's that sort of tannish green hue that comes out of the glass. I love that. Yeah.
But it looks exactly like when you're mowing the lawn.
It smells like it too.
I've been told this anyway. When you're done mowing the lawn and you take that bag of clippings and you toss it, that looks to me like the exact same thing as the smoothie they're all drinking.
When's the last time you cut the lawn? Here's why I asked.
20 years ago.
You don't do a bag anymore. You have mulching mowers.
Is there an app now?
Yes.
I don't know what you do now.
It mulches in your yard, so the clippings like get pushed into the yard.
Is that true?
It doesn't burn out on a hot day. Who cuts your grass?
Lopez y Garcia. They're excellent.
I love cutting the grass. You must have a really big yard.
No, the yard's really not. It's not acceptable.
It's a 3-minute mow, Bill.
I know, but I'm not. I've got an injury, Steve. And they said to me when I got the injury was, please don't do any grass mowing or drink any smoothie.
You could do your yard with the little hand clippers, little scissors.
Cuticle scissors.
Right.
I use cuticle scissors.
One blade, two blade.
It takes 20 minutes. I don't have that kind of time. I'm injured.
I thought of you this weekend, went to Navy Pier again because I missed Chicago.
This is, all right, in all honesty, this is twice in a week.
Yeah.
And I don't think you've been to
twice
downtown
in the years
twice
that we've
years
known
years
each
and years, right, and now twice in a week.
Captain Nintendo Dude was a YouTuber that Dylan wanted to meet. So we went to Navy Pier, and Nintendo Switch had this tent out where you could go play new games that aren't released yet. It was really fun. It was really fun.
Wait, explain that to me. So these are games that are not on the market?
They're not released yet. You get like a preview version of them. Splatoon 2 and ARMS. Just fun games. You wait in line close to an hour, and
you get in
the Nintendo tent, and you can play whatever you want, and you can win fabulous prizes. And it was just Dilly Dog and me, and that was... It was Dilly Dog and me. Me?
Yeah, the two of you.
Okay.
The both of you, as we say in Chicago.
Thank you.
Right.
And, you know, his Captain Nintendo Dude, whom he follows on YouTube, was there. He got a meet and greet.
Did he meet expectations? Was he as
well,
Dylan,
Dylan
had
as
hoped?
You know, was very nervous.
Yeah, because he's a celebrity. He's a YouTube celebrity.
This kid's 19 years old, and he was just as nervous as Dylan, and he autographed Dylan's extra Nintendo GameCube, so it was a very exciting day.
Yeah.
And I saw 5 people walking around with your boot.
I never used to notice people in this sort of injury, ever. I just didn't. And I see hundreds of people a day, and now every day I see a half a dozen.
5
or
people.
Or 9, 10, yeah.
All walking around. You know, limping, obviously, but didn't look like they were in pain.
So what's going on?
We're getting older.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Although,
thanks, Obama.
I is right. When I go to my physical therapy, I go a couple times a week, and I would say half of the people are around our age, and then there's like much, much, much younger kids, like a bunch of high school type kids, high school and college kids.
Well, can I tell you, this has replaced the cast. So that's why you're seeing all of them. Because remember, you'd see casts, walking casts with a little rubber nib on the bottom where you could kind of walk on it.
Right.
This has replaced the cast. That's why you're seeing so many of them.
Yeah, I guess so. But why all the injuries? Like, I don't remember when I was growing up, I don't remember this being so prevalent that everybody had it. And I also don't remember places like Illinois Bone and Joint or Athletico, like they're everywhere now. They didn't exist when we were kids, did they?
Their physical therapy was there.
There was?
No, I don't think so,
I
Wendy.
Don't remember
not like
seeing
now.
Them.
Well, there's one on every corner, but I'm sure now there are different choices that you can go to. Before, I think you
when
went
we
to the
kids,
hospital
if
to
you
get
had this, they'd put you out of your misery. They'd,
right.
No. They'd take you out.
You just went to the hospital for physical therapy when we were growing up.
Why don't they have these for horses? Anytime a horse gets a paper cut, they shoot the horse. They should have Illinois Bone and Joint and Athletico for horses.
Where's Athletico's. You know, there's a law now, I think.
Yeah.
the little quiet.
Disclaimer.
I think.
Slight disclaimer. That's fine for legal purposes.
That there has to be trainers available now or on site at high schools for sporting events.
Oh, really?
We had trainers when I was in high school.
Oh, we sure didn't.
We had this awesome weight room, and we had coaches, and there was a trainer.
A medical trainer.
We had them, but you
don't know
what
about
ours
medical.
Were?
No, that's my point, Wendy. There has to be certified medical trainers now.
Somebody's
at all
trained
these
for
events.
This.
So that's created a real sort of, you know, job stimulus for that.
You know, what's funny about the certified medical trainers, if you're not an athlete, they will refuse to see you.
What?
I broke my ankle in gym class, and they refused to see me because I was not a student athlete.
Is that true?
Yes.
That doesn't seem right.
Excuse me, you did it in gym class. You were in the school.
We were playing kickball, yeah, and I rolled and broke my ankle.
Oh, no.
Well, I wouldn't treat you if you did it playing kickball either.
I know. That's lame.
Well, I was trying to dodge the ball while running home.
It wasn't dodgeball. It was kickball.
Well, yeah, but if you get thrown out, I still got hit. I was out anyway, so it didn't go well.
Our trainers were other high school kids.
Right.
That's who our trainers were. They didn't have any kind of medical background.
Our trainer was whatever girl could affix that ace bandage with the little
that
metal
was the
clip.
Trainer.
No, we had an actual trainer who then went on to be a physical therapist years later. Because I remember there were two guys that were trainers.
Yeah.
One, yeah.
Oh, that's not bad. But now Steve is saying that has to be your job.
I'm pretty
sure
it's a requirement now. And so I think Athletico. And again, I'm way over my skis here, but. You know, a lot of them contract with Athletico or other
Illinois
places
Bone
like
and
that.
Joint.
Well, yeah. Illinois Bone and Joint they have physical therapy there?
Yeah. I hope so. That's where I've been going the last couple of weeks.
Because I think of Illinois Bone and Joint, and that's where you'd go to get surgeries and stuff.
Oh, I don't. That was not offered as an option to me. they just do painful things to me, and then I pay them.
There's Athletico, and there's ATI or something. There are a whole bunch of them now.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
All right, we have to take a break, and then since we're old and we're talking about injuries, people want to jump in. How's that leg injury doing?
Couldn't be better. Thanks for asking.
312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. This is a great song as well, Smokin' from Boston. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I know we were talking about injuries, but we lost our caller who was going to talk about it. There is Sammy Hagar's Road Trip with Sammy Hagar. I was watching last night. I said to Jimmy Mack, I go, who is this Sammy Hagar wannabe? And he goes, that would be Sammy Hagar.
I saw the clips. I didn't see the actual show, but I saw promos for it for some reason. And he does now look like a guy who looks like himself.
Oh, my God.
It looks like somebody's trying to look like him, but it's him.
I know.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. He had Don Felder from the Eagles on with a double neck guitar playing Hotel California, and they sang together. It was incredibly awesome.
What channel is that? I don't know why I had that on, but I saw two promos for it over the weekend. So
I don't know. I was watching it and didn't know what
know
channel
what it
was on.
I don't know what it is.
I'll find that out for you. All check right. Your local listing.
Yeah, for time and place in your area.
All right, so I noticed a lot of boots. You've been noticing a lot of boots. And do they all work the same where there's some kind of... balloon-like item in there that do you have your little contraption with you?
There's a pumping device that looks...
you say it's for your boot.
Right. But no one will sit near me on the train.
Did Big Lou give that to
yes,
you?
Yes, he did. With a wink and a nod. Yeah, you get a little, like a bubble, and then it fits on the inside of your boot and the outside, and they've warned me, and they're very serious about this, you must do the inside first. I don't know what would happen if you did it in reverse order, but I got a stern warning from two different people. Do the inside part first, then do the outside part.
And then do you release it?
Yeah, when you're going to take it off, you release it. You want it to be really kind of snug to build up the muscles that are injured, you know?
And to support
it. It's all very new to me.
Have you been pumping?
Yeah.
What about the boot?
You know that pumping station isn't for you, Bill.
Well, I learned that the hard way, Steve. Yeah, I have been pumping, Wendy.
Because
thank you,
you haven't kind of been listening to what the doctor's been saying, and I'm just curious if you are.
Here's what they have told me. I have seen six different doctors for this injury in the last month. It happened 4 weeks ago today.
Why? Because you're difficult to deal with?
No, not because I don't think I'm difficult to deal with, but they all have their slightly different opinions on what should be done. Like the first doctor said, here's the boot, wear it every other day. And then I went into physical therapy. And the first thing she said is, where's the boot? And I go, it's my day off. And she goes, your day off? Don't you want to get better? And I go, yeah. And she goes, we got to wear this every day.
I never heard a doctor say wear this every other day. That's so weird.
This was a guy dressed like a doctor. So I believe him. Then she said, I left on a trip last week. So she goes, oh, you can't fly. I go, what do you mean? She goes, you got to be on blood thinners and stuff. You can get a blood clot on the plane. So then I called another doctor and I said, is that a concern? He goes, no. He goes, you don't want to fly for the first 24 hours. But after that, at that point, it had been 2 weeks. So every doctor tells me something slightly different.
Why do you have so many doctors on your team?
I got a team of doctors. I don't know why. It makes me feel important, though. Because a lot of times, like I hardly ever have one doctor, but now I got six different doctors.
Feel so special, don't you?
I like to pretend that at the end of each evening they have they convene
a consortium.
They have a consortium and they have X-rays of mine and they look over them and they have a chuckle. I like to think that that's what's going on in some big medical center somewhere, but I know it's not. And some of the doctors are famous TV doctors, like Dr. Welby's there, Dr. Kildare is there, some of the guys from Boston Hope or Chicago Hope or one of those shows. I like to pretend they're all there. And Kevorkian's there going, we should put them down.
What about Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine?
Yeah, the Three Stooges doctors, they're there. Dr. J is there, Dr. Dre. All the famous doctors. All right,
Emmerich, is he there?
Doc Emmerich is definitely there.
Good to know.
He's making it all sound poetic. I love the doctors. All right, we must take a break. Steve will have the news, and then there's a lot more show. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Yogi Bear is smarter than the average bear. Yogi Bear is always in the ranger's hair. At a picnic table, you will find him there. Stopping down more goodies than the average bear. Can I be honest with you? There was a time in my life where I wasn't sure if Yogi Bear was named after Yogi Berra or if Yogi Berra was named after Yogi Bear.
I had that same issue.
Yeah.
But who was first?
Yogi Berra.
Oh, okay.
The great catcher for the New York Yankees preceded Yogi Bear.
Did he sound like Yogi Berra?
No. They didn't sound alike, but there's a similar texture to their thought.
Oh, okay. I didn't know Yogi Berra. Obviously, you were close friends.
Yogi Berra, the catcher, never had an accomplice, and they would try to steal lunch meat from people, much like Yogi Berra would do. But Yogi Berra never won an American League championship. So it all evens out, doesn't it?
Was there a Ranger Rick at the Yankees?
Yeah, the Yankees had Ranger Rick. They did. And Boo Boo was Phil Rizzuto, the shortstop.
Went from Scooter to Boo Boo.
Scooter to Boo Boo. Right.
Hey, Rizzuzu.
Right. Right.
All right. This is a story. You actually got the story ready. I heard it on the radio this morning.
Frightening, isn't it?
It scared the heck out of me. A lot of kids go to summer camp. Did you ever go to camp?
I went for a week.
That's a long time.
Week. Yeah.
I never let my kids go. They really had no interest in going. But I know a lot of families who that's just it. Your kids go for a week every year.
Yeah.
Until they're 40.
I know a lot of friends who send
all
their kids
summer.
For, 4 weeks a month.
Yep.
Or, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Really?
It's common.
The whole summer?
Yeah. Yep.
My but kids showed no interest. If they did, I would have. I never ever went to camp, and nor did Jimmy Mack, so we never knew to send the kids there.
I do think it's a generational thing that if your parents went and they checked it out and went, oh, that's a good way to spend a summer. Now, my parents never went, but there was a year where they wanted to go to Las Vegas very badly, so they shipped my brother and I off to camp so they could go to Las Vegas.
Was a week just long enough? Would you have wanted to stay more?
10 minutes was long enough for
me. See what I mean? That's why I couldn't.
Like roughing it at all.
If my kids asked, I would send them.
Yeah, they didn't want to go.
No, and now it's funny because Dylan's 14 and he wants so badly to buy a camper.
Oh, really?
And go camp, go across. I said, wait till you get your driver's license. You can take it on your own. But that's better than going to a camp.
I didn't like it at all. I was not a fan of it.
Well, here's another reason why you wouldn't like it. There was a 19-year-old who was a staffer at this Colorado camp, and he woke up around 4 in the morning, and he heard this crunching sound.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that crunching sound was? His head was inside the mouth of the bear.
Yeah.
And the bear was trying to pull him out of his sleeping bag as he slept outside at Glacier View Ranch, about 50 miles northwest of Denver. Colorado Parks and Wildlife spokesman Jennifer Churchill is telling us this. The teen punched and hit the bear.
You have to. You got to fight back. You can't just let a bear crunch your head while you're trying to sleep. Hey, bear, what's that noise? Hey, bear, is it just me or do you hear a crunching sound? What is that?
It was the teeth scraping against his skull.
Right.
How many times have you had a dream, and maybe I'm revealing too much, but, maybe you have a dream that you have a giant glass packed with ice of Coca-Cola, and you almost can taste it in your dream, and you wake up, and you're like, I got to go get a Coke.
Right.
Conversely, sometimes you have a dream that perhaps you've walked to the bathroom and didn't walk to the bathroom.
No.
But very realistic. All of a
sudden. Keep going. I'm enjoying these.
No, I'm going to end on that
what
one.
What other dreams might we have had and then done something right after?
And that's
Steve Freud, the host of the Wintrust Business Lunch.
That's right.
So you're having a dream, you hear crunching, and it'd be like, oh my God, I love a snow cone right now.
Sure.
There's crunching, and you wake up, and there's a bear crunching literally
right.
on your head.
Right. Some dreams can be very realistic, and then there's that moment where you realize I was just dreaming it. But in his case, in this guy's case, his crunching dream turned out to be a bear trying to finish him off.
Tell me something. I don't know if you're, you know, someone who can just wake up out of a dead sleep and be proactive. Mm-hmm. I can. Jimmy Mack needs to shake the cobwebs off for a while. How could you, like, all of a sudden react?
You'd think you were imagining it.
Absolutely.
Right.
19-year-old staffer identified only as Dylan. He doesn't want to release his last name.
No.
Because everyone's going to go, wow.
I think the Bears attorneys convinced him not to release his last name until further notification.
But this little 19-year-old teen staffer at a Colorado camp, the bear dragged him 10 to 12 feet before he was able to free himself.
Oh, no.
He was treated briefly at a hospital and released. Sorry, but this guy is lucky not to be dead.
Right.
The crunching noise, I guess, was the teeth scraping against the skull as it dug in, said the teen.
I guess it was.
The teen, by the way, teaches wilderness survival at the camp owned by the Rocky Mountain Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Since he taught wilderness survival, he obviously knew what to do.
I wouldn't know what to do.
No.
Except first I would ask the bear politely to please stop eating my head and see if that did any good. Hey, I know you're hungry, but I've got grapes.
Dylan and the other staffers were near teepees where 12 and 13-year-old campers were sleeping. None of them were hurt. None of them
was hurt.
How
did they not wake up during this?
It all happened so fast.
I guess so, yeah.
And now, see, Bill, this is where, again, we need your little pocket bear calculator. You have to do, because black bears aren't usually aggressive, but they have attacked several people in the West in recent weeks.
Yeah.
A woman and her dogs were attacked on Tuesday after they apparently surprised an adult bear and her cub in a huckleberry patch.
Was this in a Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
I know. In the Idaho Panhandle National Forest, last month, black bears killed two people in Alaska in two separate attacks.
The Chicago Bears can't beat anybody. These guys are going to town.
16-year-old Patrick Jack Cooper.
Patty Jack?
Mm-hmm.
When are you coming back?
He's not. He was killed.
Oh, no. You got to give me a warning on that.
Wasn't very nice.
I'm sorry. Oh, wow. You gave me no time to give you a warning.
Just give me like some body language on these.
What's
or something.
What's the underside of that bus look
Excuse
like, Bill?
Excuse me. The sentence preceding this was last month black bears killed two people in Alaska in two separate attacks. 16-year-old
Patrick
Cooper
Jack would go down
of
so
Anchorage was killed after he got lost and veered off a trail during a mountain race. Wow, he was in the middle of a mountain race, gets lost, then gets killed.
Can I tell you, half of the videos I see on Facebook right now are people getting either attacked by bears or bears showing up on their patio or their treehouse.
Yep.
I saw a video on Saturday. Somebody took a video of their patio, and the bear's trying to slide their sliding glass door open so he could get inside the house. Like a 7-foot bear.
And he's standing on his hind legs?
He's standing on his hind legs.
How does he know to slide it open?
I have no idea how he knows that.
The internet.
Yeah, it's got to be the internet. It has to be the internet. But I swear, every day I see a dozen videos of bears somewhere. They're not like there was one last year. Remember we talked about it? There was a bear in a school somewhere.
Yeah,
that got in through the side door and it's just walking down the hall of the school,
looking for PB and J sandwiches.
Right.
It is Yogi Bear coming to life.
It is.
They're just looking for food. Black bears, excuse me, will defend their young, and they've been known to paw and bite tents with food inside. Can I tell you, there is no part of camping that appeals to me.
No, I know. I know, me too.
I mean, a tent, aren't one or two mosquitoes get in that tent, they're just going to bite you all night long.
You get malaria.
Well, you
They always show.
Malaria.
I think you get malaria. Half the campers I know have gone down with malaria.
Or gotten eaten by a bear.
Or got eaten by a bear. I don't know a single camper who has survived, Wendy. I've heard stories that when you go camping also, you have to put your food up like on a flagpole.
Right.
Like you can't leave your food out at night because a bear will smell it in the woods. So you have to... You have to put it way, way, way up in the air.
That's where I would put my kids, just to make sure they're safe. Here, put this rope through your overalls, honey.
Right.
And then you pull them up.
It'll be fine.
No, there's nothing to worry about. Did you ever see the movie The Big Lebowski?
Yes.
All right. There's a scene with Sam Elliott, the great Sam Elliott, where he says one of the most, this is one of the coolest things that's ever been said in a movie. He's having a conversation with Jeff Bridges, and he says, "Sometimes you eat the bar, sometimes the bar eats you." And I remember, like, I love that whole movie, but when he said that, I go, that's the most beautiful way of saying that life balances out, that sometimes really good things happen to you, but don't get too excited, because then a bear will eat you. You know, don't get too high or too low at any time, because it balances out. There are good days and there are bad days.
You know, I don't know if your parents did this, but I only know because I've seen pictures, but I guess my parents used to go camping quite a bit.
Did
was that the
really?
Thing they did back in the 50s when they were dating?
We used to go camping when I was a kid.
But this is like just my mom and dad went with other couples.
And that was not representative of what your parents were, right, to go
God,
camping?
God, no.
Because if my parents ever told me they'd go camping, I would be sure that space aliens replaced my parents.
See, and they had talked about that, and I didn't really believe them until my sister found old pictures
of them camping.
Yeah, my mom looking very attractive in her tight-fitting, like, capri pants and, like, a really form-fitting flannel plaid shirt.
Really?
Are you sure they just didn't tell you they went camping?
No, they used to go with their friends all the time.
Okay.
My sister said that, too, and there's definite proof that they were camping, which just blows my mind because they didn't look like the type that would ever do that.
That's surprising.
But so I take that back because I said camping didn't run my family, but we didn't get sent away to summer camp, and this is exactly why I wouldn't go.
My next door neighbors, several times per summer, would camp just out in their backyard, which
we
I guess that's somewhere in the middle. You're camping, but you're not really camping.
We grew up with a family that had like 9 kids, and they had a long clothesline in their backyard, and we would just assemble blankets and comforters and sheets and literally make a tent out of the clothesline.
And sleep there all night?
Yeah, and there'd be like a block of tents because their yard was so long, and there'd be like probably 5 or 6 tents back to back. The girls' tent would be made out of the flower sheets.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you'd have to walk through the other tents to get to yours, but
kind
of fun.
That sounds like a good time.
And there were like 20 people, so if somebody came,
right,
you felt safe. I wouldn't do it by myself in the yard.
And there's no bears near you.
Well, we lived by a park. But bears weren't coming out.
Just because it's a park, though, doesn't mean that there are bears at the park.
Well, there's forests.
There's no, I don't think there's bears running wild anywhere near here, is there?
In Brookfield?
In the zoo, but not in the park. There's no bears in those parks.
I don't know, Bill. There people
positive.
Are seeing bears. How are you positive?
100%.
There aren't bears in Illinois?
Yeah,
maybe Northwest Illinois,
but not in the suburbs where you live.
I'm going to check my bear sighting app.
See if
we're going to take a break.
All right, see if there's any bears. I could be wrong. All right, we'll take a quick break. I'll put money down, though. I know there are no bears near you.
There
I'm
are
positive.
Raccoons that are as big as baby bears.
All right, I'll give you that one. All right, a quick break, more show. If you want to jump in, you know how to reach us, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
I was talking about my dreams. I actually had a dream about Lou Manfredini last night.
I have that all the time. That's no big deal.
Did he fix stuff in yours?
Sure did.
Me
did
too.
Did you have carpentry tape or things like that? What did you dream about?
You know what? I can't remember any specific thing other than
him
Lou Manfredini. made an appearance.
Yeah.
That was it. There was no rhyme or reason.
Now, he's SAG-AFTRA, so you have to pay him.
And now this.
I saw him on an Ace TV commercial. He looked very good.
Yeah, he's handsome. Handsome Lou, I call
him. Maybe that's why I dreamt about him.
Yep.
Because I saw him on the commercial.
We're telling the story about this kid, 19 years old, and he's a camp counselor in Colorado, and he woke up to a crunching sound, and what do you think it was?
It's just my skull.
It was a bear eating his head. Which is the worst way to wake up. In a recent survey, 19-year-olds in Colorado said the worst way to wake up, Wendy, is a bear eating your skull. Now, I have a theory. I think, because I just gave you that quote from The Big Lebowski, where let's play this. Here's a little scene, Sam Elliott from The Big Lebowski.
Sometimes you eat the bar and that's your blood. Sometimes the bar will eat you.
Yep.
Can you translate?
Sometimes you eat the bar or bear, and then he says thank you because somebody pours him a beer, and then he says sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes the bear eats you. Now, I think there must have been a time in America where instead of calling them bears, they must have been called bars for some reason, because he says bar. And remember in the song, The Ballad of Davy Crockett?
No.
There's a line that says, "Kilt him a bar when he was only three." B-A-R instead of B-E-A-R.
See, I'm confused because Sam Elliott was in a bar getting a drink.
Oh, yeah.
So you sure he didn't mean bar?
No, he's referring to bears, but because he's got an old westerny feel to him, he says bar, which is the way I'm going to start saying it after today. I'm also going to say bar like Sam Elliott. But in The Ballad of Davy Crockett, the line is, "Kilt him a bar when he was only three." Remember that? Did you ever hear that song? You never did?
Davy.
That's the one.
Davy Crockett.
Yeah, King of the Wild Frontier.
You got very excited.
I got excited.
To do a sing-along with me.
Yeah, that was fun.
This was from 2014, but there are bears in Western Illinois. No.
No, not by you.
Outside Galena.
Right.
Winnebago and DeKalb counties.
Northwestern Illinois.
Yeah.
Ogle, because you'd ogle a bear if you saw it.
They wouldn't like that, but you would.
And I don't think there are very many. What are you reading?
Illinois conservation officials expect to see more black bears, bars, making their way through the state. The chance of a bear traipsing through Chicago suburbs are very low.
Yeah.
But the state will be prepared for all kinds of situations.
By
now that the
what?
Budget's approved.
Right, right. There's a lot more provisions for bear attacks.
Shut the bear highway off right there.
All right, well,
Thank you, Bruce Runner.
I wasn't afraid of bears. But, you know,
they're not going to be by you.
They can't survive
by you.
You know, under 10 years old, you don't think a bear is going to come attack you when you sleep in your yard?
Would you do it now?
I still wouldn't sleep in my yard. Intentionally.
Again.
Right. But it still throws me, like, by us, deer show up every once in a while.
We have
and you
deer.
Go, how does an animal the size of a deer survive in the suburbs?
Oh, they eat. What
yeah.
do they?
Yeah, they walk along the creeks.
Yep.
Or some people say creek. I say crick and bar.
Crick and bar.
That's going to be the name of my bar. Crick and bar. So they just follow the water line and eat and jump out in front of your car and scare the heck out of you.
Isn't it amazing, though, that an animal of that size could survive in the suburbs? It just, like, every time I see a deer.
There are a lot of big people in the suburbs.
No, I know. I get, yeah, that's true.
Why does it surprise you in the suburbs?
Because I can see them like way, like people always go, well, downstate. They're well, yeah, because it's downstate. But it, I don't know. It's just so much more
shocking
busy.
To see. Oh, I guess, yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. The urban environment doesn't.
Yeah, you go, where do you hide all day?
I see a fox on my block pretty regularly.
What's her name?
A few times a year. Svetlana. I saw a skunk the other day. We have deer, coyotes. I mean,
I'm telling you, the raccoons in our neighborhood are huge. With that arched back, they could be maybe 3 feet tall.
Yeah? Seriously?
I'm not
That's
kidding.
Way
Some
too
of
big.
Them are huge. And those poor possum are so ugly. I'm so sorry to say that because I love all animals and all people.
Yeah.
But possums are ugly.
Yeah, they are.
Poor little things.
The ones by you, do they travel in a pack? Like by us, if you see one, there's four of them. Or at
possum?
Least four, sometimes five.
I see singular ones.
You do,
almost all the time.
Yeah, there's like a couple of them that are like in, I'm guessing it's a family. I don't know. Huh. They're not around to answer my question.
Are some of them smaller than the other
ones?
Yes. Because, oh, okay.
Yes.
Because usually I think they're pretty solo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe they're solitary mammals.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pouch mammals or marsupials.
Wow. They're
living under my shed, or at least there was a couple
Is that
years
true?
Ago. Yeah.
And then when you like shine a light on them, aren't they just the most hideous things? I'm sorry to say that.
There are uglier things, but yeah, they're not
many.
They're not the George Clooney of the animal world. No.
Mm-mm.
No, not by a long shot. All right, we must take a break. Steve will give you the news, and then there's a lot more show, so stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and someone has texted in, Bill, that you and I are the perfect combination of knowledge and nonsense.
Oh, I'll take that.
I will take that. That's a good way of putting it. And every once in a while, we like to talk about serious subjects as well. I'd like to introduce you to Patricia Fontaine. Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. Thank you.
Patricia works on the show Chicago PD. And you're with the script department. What do you do for the show?
I'm a script supervisor. So I do all the continuity and all the notes for the editor and the timing and help the actors with their lines.
We've had a bunch of people from Chicago PD and from the Chicago shows on our show. LaRoyce Hawkins might be popping in. You obviously know him from the show, and you guys hooked up for something called Patrick Lives On. We'd like to find out more about this whole organization.
Well, in January of 2015, my son was murdered by he got caught in some gang violence out in the northwest suburbs, and that was during season one of Chicago PD. So because of my position, I'm very, very close to all the actors, and when you work 14 hours a day with people 10 months a year, you get to know them really well. So our entire crew and cast and producers and directors have all been very supportive. And I, after about a year, after my son passing, we wanted to do something to help kids. Because the young boy that is now in prison for 28 years got in a gang at 13. And
jeez.
We just thought maybe if he'd had some help, some assistance early on, that maybe it wouldn't have gone that way.
Yeah.
So our main goal is we provide scholarships to kids to help them with after school and summer camp activities. And it's exceptionally rewarding because these are kids who either financially can't, or their parents aren't as involved, or they don't know about it, you know, or they don't know what would interest them. So we're hoping to keep them off the streets and keep them busy, and then maybe they won't be lured into gangs.
Please forgive me for saying this, but northwest suburbs, mm-hmm. you don't think of gang violence there. Mm-hmm. You're white. You don't think of a white kid getting shot in gang violence as much.
Right.
Reports in the news today, 6-year-old pulling a gun on somebody. What do we do? How can you help? How can Patrick Lives On? I mean, there's just so many facets to this.
That's exactly right. And we're not anti-gun, we're not anti-gang, we're not weak. There's so many different departments that you could go in. We're just trying to go underneath it all and maybe help some of these kids stay busy and possibly get mentorship that they're not getting elsewhere. And so we're providing the assistance, and we're getting a lot of different corporations and different organizations to donate classes, to donate funds for, you know, these summer camps or after school activities.
So they have something to do.
Something to do.
A purpose.
One of the things we're doing is, and we started up in the northwest suburbs because that's where my son lost his life, but we're branching out to all over Chicagoland and eventually nationally.
Awesome.
If we get enough sponsorship. And one of the things, for instance, is with the STEM program. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
And so next year we're going to, a local high school had some funds to bring the kids to their high school after school, but they didn't have the funds for the busing. So we can step in and pay. And so one day a week, a different junior high can go, and these kids can get bused right after school and then bused home at 6 p.m. So that day, those kids are safe.
Right.
They're not out wandering in a park district or wherever. Nothing against park districts, but just wandering on a corner. And they'll be introduced to a trade, to something that maybe they wouldn't normally be. And then maybe they'll be more interested in going to high school, more interested in what there is to offer there and the support system there.
If you have nothing to go by, I mean, you're making a great point here. If it's like all of a sudden, wow, this is kind of cool, I do want to go to school. If you never try it, you're never going to know. And sometimes these kids don't have opportunities to try anything.
That's exactly it. Maybe that's exactly it. There isn't anyone introducing them to things.
That's it.
And it all costs money, you know, and we all don't have a lot of money. So no offense to anyone, you know, or both parents are working and they don't have time to drive them there.
Right.
So that's what we're trying to get them involved in, things that where we can help with that. So they're not on the streets vulnerable.
What you and your family has been through is devastating. It's nothing short of devastating. Now, a lot of people wouldn't take the route you've taken if somebody did something as awful to you and your family, especially your son. You wouldn't try to figure out, what can I do to help? What led to that for you?
What led to it is I could sit in bed under the covers every day if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Because the sadness is that deep, of course.
Did you for a while? Obviously.
Yeah, a little bit.
You have to.
Yeah. You have to, because you can't, it's all surreal. It just, every day it keeps coming back to you. But the idea to me when I heard about this boy who was 20, who was the perpetrator, and the idea that his life is ruined, his children's lives are ruined, his family's lives are ruined, the lives around where this happened are ruined because people are exposed to something. It's not just my child, my family, his Patrick's friends. Our entire community was devastated. It's still hard to believe that it happened. So if we could save one life, and I keep saying that to people because that one life could have been my kid. Do you know, if somebody had helped that boy, for whatever reason, he went on the wrong path. You can't change everybody, you know, or you can lead a horse to water at least.
Right. Yeah.
And some of them aren't being led to water.
Right. At some point, you've talked to the boy who took your son's life.
No, I sat. He did a plea bargain.
Yeah.
Instead of going to trial, and I sat there and I saw him.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk. His back was to me, and he was.
And what do you say? I mean, what do you say? What do you even feel when you see him? I can't even imagine that.
Because the damage is done.
Yeah.
It just felt really sad to see his children, his 4-year-old, his 2-year-old, his family, how hurt they were, and to know they lost their son.
And they had nothing to do with it.
They had nothing to do with it. And his little boy doesn't even know. Now he doesn't have a dad. He won't grow up with a father.
Right.
It's sad. We have Patricia Fontaine in here, and Patrick Lives On is the name of this organization. LaRoyce Hawkins is Kevin Atwater on Chicago PD. He's the spokesperson for Patrick Lives On. You guys are having a big fundraiser coming up in September?
We're having a really big fundraiser. We did one last year. We do it on the weekend of my son's birthday, and it's at CineSpace Film Studios, where we shoot all the TV shows, and they're the sponsors of it. And last year we had about 30 actors from Chicago PD, Chicago Med, and Chicago Fire. And it's truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience because they don't do what you see them do on TV. They're singing, they're dancing, they're telling jokes, they're
doing stand-up. So a variety show kind of thing?
It's a funny, fun variety show. And it's all to raise money because all of these guys, their hearts are so warm and so big, and they want to do something to help. And especially our TV show, we deal with these issues all the time. And
you do a great job with that on that television show, too. Because it's real, but it's, I don't know how to put it, it's acceptable the way you do it. You're not hiding about what's going on in real life here.
And they're all true stories. They're all based on truth. We get them from police officers. So that feels really good because we hear about those stories, and it's real.
Yeah.
It happened to us, one of our family members. Just what we had an episode about happened to us. So they're really great. We just produced 31 public service announcements with these actors, and those are going to just start. We're going to start marketing those nationally soon.
What's it like for you, Patricia, when you're working on an episode that so closely mirrors what you've experienced?
Well, I took 3 episodes off. And then there was one episode that first year where I sat out that day.
Yeah.
And they warned me.
Yeah.
You know, now I look at it that hopefully we're helping people because what we do is we're not just showing the crimes. We're showing how hard the police work, the challenges they're up against, it, how it affects them as humans. We're trying to bring the humanity to it.
Right.
So I'm proud to do that. I'm honored to do that. I feel really lucky to work on such a great show. So I put that in my brain, and I put that forward.
Well, it says a lot about you to persevere and to not let this get the best of you. And it also says a lot about the casts of these shows to go out of their way to help. So
on their own time. LaRoyce has the biggest heart. I wish he could be here. Yeah. Maybe he'll walk in a second.
All right. I hope so.
You know, and whenever there's violence, Bill and I often talk about this, when a kid does something bad, as a parent, I feel bad for the parent. They've done everything they can to raise that kid right, and sometimes something goes terribly wrong. So to see these stories come to fruition on Chicago PD, you are seeing kind of both sides of the story, which is important for us all to witness.
And our motto is be strong, use your words, not guns. And part of what we're trying to get across of, and even within the public service announcements, they're not just don't pick up a gun, don't do that, that's bad. We're trying to say you have a choice. You have a choice, and that one action that you take is going to have a humongous reaction. And if you choose to do that, you're ending your own life too. You know, you're not just ending that person's life. You're ending your own and many others.
It's a terrible thing. Patrick Lives On is what we're talking about right now. Patricia Fontaine, what's the best website to tell people to go to get more information about this?
PatrickLivesOn.org. Tickets are on sale through the website for the September 9th event at CineSpace. And also there's an opportunity there for corporate and individual sponsorship, which a lot of people are starting to step up and help us.
Good. Very, very good. Patricia, none of us can even come close to imagining what you guys have been through, and I hope nothing but the best for you and your family. I really do. Keep fighting the fight. Make the world a better place.
That's what we're going to do.
That's what Thank she you. Sure is doing. Thank mm-hmm. you very much. Again, if you'd like to go to the benefit, this is September 9th
mm-hmm.
at CineSpace. It's a major fundraising event. This is your major one, and kind of a variety show with a lot of the cast members from all the Chicago shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Look at that all coming together. Uh-huh. Is Dick Wolf going to be there?
Maybe. He's in town. Maybe he will be. I don't know.
You can find out more at patrickliveson.org. Again, Patricia Fontaine, thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I forgot to watch the darn Amelia Earhart thing last night.
Oh, man.
Did you watch it?
I didn't get to see it, but they found her. She's fine.
She's not fine.
She's feeling okay.
No, that's
She had a cold, and
was.
Now she's fine.
I just.
But now Supels has gone one better. He goes, Amelia Earhart, that was like 20 minutes ago.
This is way
I'll
older.
I'll get you Moab from the Old Testament. We'll talk to him.
What did he do?
I don't remember what he
did. What was his middle
name? The name Moab. I don't know if I had any kids named Moab in my whole schooling years. That name seems to have slipped away, didn't it? Moab. That's a great name.
Well, for a while, I know Catholics were supposed to name their kids after a saint, yeah,
right.
Or something in the Bible.
Right.
Wendy was not in the Bible.
No, she was in Peter Pan.
Right.
Which is
next best thing.
Didn't sell as many copies as the Bible, but it did okay. James Berry did okay.
And then, you know, it's goofy when you pick confirmation names. I was bringing this up to you before. I can't remember. You did get confirmed, even though you tried not to.
I didn't want to get confirmed. I opted out, but Sister Janet explained to me that I was not about to break her streak. So I did get confirmed.
And your name you chose?
Moab.
It was not. You should have.
There is a chapter in the Old Testament with Moab, Curly, and Larry, who were the biblical stooges of the Old Testament. It's a seldom told story.
I chose Maria because that was my great-grandmother's name.
Because of your love for musicals.
And that.
I took Charles because my uncle was my sponsor. So his name is Charles.
So that's what you had to do?
I didn't have to, but I felt like I owed it to him because he spent, you know, the day with me being my sponsor, putting me on the right track.
What does that even mean?
Maria did for you.
No, Maria was my great grandmother. I never met her.
Oh, really?
Maria.
What a pronounced that way?
Well, yeah, Italian.
I like that.
And then Michael was confirmed, and I told you this off the air, and it embarrasses him, so I like to put it on the air.
Do it.
He chose St. Michael. And
Michael.
To this day, he goes, I don't know why I did that. He goes, I just liked St. Michael because he was the archangel, and he was in charge of all the angels.
Yeah.
And I said, you could do whatever you want. It's not like I ever go back and put, you know, Maria on my birth certificate or...
Right. No, once you're done being confirmed, nobody ever asks you again.
No.
But it is straight. Like, nobody at the school said, but your name's already Michael.
No. And it made me feel good that Jim and I chose a name that he enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because he double chose it.
Right.
And Dylan likes Christmas so much that he wants to choose St. Nicholas when he gets confirmed next year.
I like that.
I hope he doesn't wear a Santa hat when he is...
It's up to him.
I hope not. You
can't get in the way of that. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more show. You know who's coming by is Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune.
I wonder if he had any confirmation name. I wonder if he was confirmed.
We'll find out.
All right.
That'll be our secret question.
Moab.
Mine was Moab. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, Royce Hawkins just walked in. Dude, how are you?
I can't complain. How are we doing this morning?
We're doing really well. We were talking to Patricia Fontaine about mm-hmm. Patrick Lives On. Know that you're completely in cahoots with this.
Completely in cahoots.
And you totally wanted to jump in and help, and you were running late, and you're sweating. What's up with you?
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful morning. Already, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I've had enough challenges already for a complete day. and we just getting started. So that's
you don't have to go into specifics, but you have a baby boy who had some health issues, but he's okay.
Yeah, everything's all good. Right, everything's good all good.
Do you know what a gastrocnemius muscle is?
I'm familiar with the gastrocnemius. Yes.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's in it's in the legs, right?
Yeah, like upper thighs. Calf.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yep. Muscle. It sure is.
Wow.
Calf it would muscles. Mean a lot to me if you would donate yours to me so that I could play tennis the rest of the summer. Is that am I asking too much?
Listen, my gastrocnemii aren't as powerful as you would assume, sir. And I apologize. That's the plural form of gastrocnemius.
Yes, it's more than one is gastrocnemii. You're absolutely right. Thank you for knowing that. A lot of people don't know that.
Bro, I'm here for y'all, bro.
You were supposed to be on with Patricia, and as I mentioned, or as Bill mentioned, a little mishap, a little illness with your son. He's okay. Everything's going to be good.
I think it's just regular, baby stomach complication things. It wasn't that complicated, but we were, we were just worried because, it was my first kid, and he's a little boy, and you just get worried about stuff. But, he's great. His name is Roman.
Roman?
Roman John
Sweet.
Hawkins.
Sweet.
Yeah, he's a powerful little dude.
Was he named after somebody?
Well, John is my grandfather's name.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted to throw that in there. My grandfather's probably my biggest motivation.
Oh, nice.
Ever, and he's just a great person. So I wanted him to have some of that legacy in his name. And and Roman is actually my favorite book in the Bible, and I named him after Romans 12.
Very nice.
Yeah, Romans 12. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I won't do the entire verse, but what's interesting about Romans 12 is it was perfect because, believe it or not, my son was also born with 12 fingers.
Is that right?
Yeah, he had like an extra little nubs on the side. And I just thought it was appropriate that Romans 12 had been my favorite verse growing up.
And had that the 12 digits.
He had a dozen on them.
So what do you do if somebody has extra fingers?
Sign them up for basketball. What do you think?
Well, what I wanted to do was not basketball, but what I found out was that there's actually pitchers in the MLB that got that extra nub.
Really?
And they get paid a lot of money. To throw baseballs. And so I wanted to keep at least one of them. So that we can get scholarships for stuff like that.
What's wrong with that?
You can make a keychain out of the other one.
I hit his mom.
Like a rabbit's
I hit
foot?
His mom up, and I'm like, "Hey, let's. I know you're scared of the extra fingers, but let's at least keep one of them because he can get scholarship money, and he can probably play some baseball." And she said, "Absolutely not."
No, she wouldn't hear.
Yeah, she wasn't having it. So, about a month after he was born, he was we got him taken off, and so I'm showing pictures. So that he believes that he had 12 fingers.
Yeah,
I'm letting him know how special he is. I'm going to try to convince him that he's an X-Man for most of his life.
And 12 is the Lord's number.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So everything worked out.
Wow.
Did you get confirmed? We were talking about confirmation names earlier. Did you get confirmed and choose a name?
Well, it was like between Royce or Roman. And, I woke up the next morning after he was born. I think God just told me Roman.
Really?
I just started, I started spitting the verse. I was like, I think it's Roman because I like the sound of Roman.
Yeah.
But I wanted it to mean more than just of Rome,
So I was
on Google all night, like trying to figure out like deeper meanings for Roman. And I couldn't find anything on the internet. But I woke up the next morning and, God downloaded everything I already had So I just started spitting the verse. And before I knew it, that was his name.
My three favorite Romans, other than your son.
Okay.
Roman Gabriel, former NFL quarterback.
What team?
The Rams.
Okay.
For a number of years. Mm-hmm. Incredible quarterback and great hair, which used to be important to be a good quarterback.
I'll show you my son. He's got incredible hair.
Roman Castevet is the next door neighbor in Rosemary's Baby.
Okay.
Who ends up a little creepy, but that's okay.
Uh-huh.
And then Roman Meal Bread. All outstanding.
But he's in great company.
Yep.
We have got to get to news. We wanted to put you on the air. We know you rushed over here to get here. PatrickLivesOn.org, and the big fundraiser is happening September 9th at CineSpace.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing? Are you juggling? What's your performance that you may be doing? Do you want to leave it a secret?
No, well, the main thing I'm there for is to, be a powerful liaison between, everything that potentially happens on stage and the audience. I'm there to just create the vibes, or curate the vibes for like the dopest, safest place for everybody to come and donate their time, their energy, and their cash, hopefully, if they got that.
Yeah, that'll help.
Yeah, because,
You slipped that right in very smoothly, by the way, Boris. Good
job. Well, that's...
That's what it's all about.
Yes, ma'am.
We were just saying how for Patricia, a show becomes a family. You guys mm-hmm. spend so much time together.
Absolutely.
And when she went through this horrible, horrible ordeal, everybody just kind of rallied behind her. And actors like yourself said, what can we possibly do? That was such a nice thing.
Oh, well, yeah, man. I mean, you know, it should be, first of all, I've, experienced, death like this, especially, mm-hmm. When gun violence is one of those things that has afflicted like my culture and my community for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so, I've had my own family members. I have a little cousin, his name was Mario, who didn't make it to high school. Yeah. He was 13 years old and he was killed by gun violence. I had kids, that were my friends in high school that were, their lives were taken, by the gun. And so naturally when I heard about Patricia, my heart went, just because I know what it feels. Not that I'm a mother, but like I said, I have cousins and I've seen mothers who have gone through these terrible situations. And I couldn't imagine what Patricia was going through.
Yeah.
Knowing Patricia and knowing how sweet she is and just how giving she is to all of us. She's mm-hmm. like our mom, to be a script supervisor, you have to keep all of us actors in line, make sure that, that everybody's staying on task. And she does it, I think, with so much grace.
Yeah.
And, that can be a difficult position to be in anyway. But, she's always done it in such a lovely way. And I've always admired her temperament. So when this happened, I could only imagine what she was going through. And
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I can't.
So of course, I was like, Patricia, whatever you need me to do, I'll be here, and I think, a couple of years later, here we are still strong. Patrick still lives on.
Good.
And, the energy is getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
September 9th is the big day. Major fundraiser for Patrick Lives On. It's at CineSpace. You can find out more information. PatrickLivesOn.org. Will you come back and see us sometime when we have more time to chat?
I would love to.
All right, perfect.
I live right down the street. All y'all got to do is just
come by every day.
Yeah, just let me know. I bring donuts and stuff. And coffee.
All right.
Tomorrow, let's do it.
Yeah.
What time tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Copy that.
All right,
cool.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here for an abbreviated visit. Hi,
yeah,
Eric.
The theme song is actually going to be longer than our segment, Eric. I'm
sorry. It's been great talking to you. Thanks for having me in. Terrific to see you.
We're very sorry. But, these TV stars come in. What are you going to do? You can't say no to a TV star.
No, I yield. I just want to have an entourage following me around, filming my every step the way he did. I was like pushed aside by his film crew in the hallway there.
Bill and I could follow you around and use our iPhones to videotape things.
Why not? Why not?
Let's do that. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break because we have to, and when we come back, you wanted to talk tweets, right?
I have the top 10 tweets from the month of June.
Outstanding.
You'll laugh, you'll cry.
At least we have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I care about.
That's all that matters.
Not really.
Right?
No, it matters. That does matter. We can talk about that, too.
All right, that'll come up. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Stick around. We've got the top 10 tweets from the month of June and a whole lot more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Eric Zorn is here for a quick visit today. You can read him in the Chicago Tribune, and I do, and I did over the weekend. And you want to talk about some of the best tweets out there.
I do. I want to just do the top. We've been doing this for the last several months. I do the top 10 tweets of the month, and June is over, and we were off last Monday. Well, I was off. Wendy was off. You were here, though.
I worked. Yeah.
Well,
Poor Bill.
The station appreciates
it. With an injured leg, still work.
He's still work.
He walked in here from Evanston. Here we are, top 10. Now, I have to say about this first one. This was my favorite tweet of the week when it was in the poll. We have a weekly poll. And it finished dead last. Tell me if you like, because I like this one.
All right.
I did it my way, Frank Sinatra. I failed to see what business it is of yours, how I did it. Secretive Sinatra.
That's very funny. I think that's right? Very funny.
It's very good. Very good. When life gives you lemons, start a GoFundMe.
Oh, I like that too.
People do that all the
time.
You're
not attributing these to anybody. You're not saying
I have this at chicagotribune.com/Zorn. I have these up and they're attributed.
Okay.
They're all under the little screen names.
No time, Bill.
There's nothing like the sound of a child's laughter to remind you that your apartment is haunted.
That one's good.
That's brilliant.
Using Latin phrases to sound smart is my modus operandi.
Oh, I like that too. Yeah. Wow, this is a good month for tweets, Eric.
This is a good month. This is in the form of a little play, a little drama. Doctor, what seems to be the problem? Me, it's my hearing. Doctor, can you describe the symptoms? Me. Well, there's Homer and Bart and Marge.
Good.
Okay. At my funeral, I want the...
That took me a
delayed
minute.
Reaction
sorry.
From Wendy,
I'm
but
sorry.
Sometimes that's better, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a delayed good. Reaction's a better
that's
reaction.
That's a good joke, though, sometimes when it funny. Creeps up on you yeah. like that.
Hey, wait. Yeah. I think that's the truth with The Secret of Sinatra. Mm-hmm. People like don't get it at first, and then it dawns on them, and they laugh all day.
Mm-hmm.
At my funeral, I want the organist to start playing Pop Goes the Weasel really slowly until everyone is staring at my coffin in dread.
That's sick.
Now, here's one. People didn't like this one either, but I like this one. If you think you've written a good Law and Order joke, it's probably already been done.
Oh, that's good, too.
Done.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't get it.
That noise that they make anytime anything
oh,
happens
yes.
on Law and
dun,
Order.
Dun-dun.
Like
right.
that? Yeah.
Anyway. Hyperbole is destroying our civilization.
That's good. I like all these.
Okay. How to find out if you're old. Fall down in front of a group of people. If they laugh, you're young. If they panic, you're old.
That's so true.
Hysterical.
And the last one, and these were in no particular order, but this one is from Rex Supke, who's a Tribune columnist. Mm-hmm. He's been on your show. He's an inspiration to all of us. Anyway, inspired by Trump, I'm going to eat a bowl of ice cream, then deny eating a bowl of ice cream, and then tweet that I ate a bowl of ice cream.
Those is solid.
They were good. They
Very
were solid.
Good.
So I'll
I
be
like
back. I'll be back in a month with the best from July.
Right.
There's some good ones from July.
And again, if people want to know who actually said them, because I like to give credit where credit
yes.
is due. That's
yeah, Chicago. Yes, absolutely with comedy. Yes, ChicagoTribune.com/Zorn, and I'll send Kevin a link to the exact thing. He can put it
All
on
right.
the Facebook page.
Very
too,
good.
So.
For the first time since biblical times, there is a budget here in the state of Illinois.
Since the earth cooled off,
right.
we now have a budget in Illinois.
Right. Yes. Are you surprised by this? And more importantly, did Bruce Rauner just get himself reelected because there's a budget?
I am a little surprised, and I think that this really helped Governor Rauner's reelection chances. In my column over the weekend, I make the argument that what happened, for anyone who has been not paying attention to exactly the ins and outs of this, is that the Democrats and some Republicans got together and they finally said, okay, we've got to have a budget because we are really heading over a cliff. The mountain of unpaid bills, $14 billion in unpaid bills. We've got universities in junk bond status, state universities in junk bond status, human service agencies firing, people closing down, services being denied. The road repair and construction, things were going to stop. We remember the Powerball and Mega Millions
yeah.
lottery had stopped.
Yeah.
And people were saying, this is extremely serious. Now we have to do something about it. So they passed a budget in the House and the Senate, and it included a tax increase personal income tax increase from 3.75% to 4.95%. 32% is what I'm told that's what it is. I haven't actually done the math, but
yeah.
So they passed this and they sent it on to Governor Rauner, who had already said that we need to have a tax increase to about 4.95%. This is what he wanted. The budget also included $3 billion in spending cuts, so it was not just, I think it was a responsible thing for them to do. Rauner vetoed that budget, saying that he felt that we wanted more business reforms. He wanted things like changes to workers' compensation formulas to make them more business friendly, for instance. And he also wanted a 4-year property tax freeze. I can't remember where the negotiations were on property tax freezes, but he wanted some other things thrown into the mix. He didn't get those. He vetoed it. Came back, and the General Assembly, both the House and the Senate, with Republican help, overrode that veto and passed into law. And the reason that I think that Rauner won is that his whole message is that House Speaker Michael Madigan, who's been there also since the earth cooled off,
mm-hmm.
In the General Assembly, has runs with an iron fist, and he's the enemy. He's the guy who has put us into this situation. And that argument is not wholly without merit by any means. When I write about this, people always say, you forget to mention Mike Madigan. Well, it's quite true that Mike Madigan has been there for this whole thing. And what's happened is we've underfunded things over the years. We've been out of balance for a long time. We haven't put the money in that we needed to. It's been bad. It's gotten worse under Rauner, but he's able now to say this is Mike Madigan's tax increase, and people don't like tax increases. Go figure. They don't like to pay more in taxes.
Right.
And so he will be able to exploit this, and he's going to be able to campaign. It's like, this wasn't my tax increase. This is Mike Madigan's tax increase. I think that argument is going to. And the other thing, the reason that I think Rauner wins is because we have averted. a major crisis. We haven't gotten rid of the problem by any means, but we averted a major crisis with, like I said, the roads and the lottery and you know, there's all kinds of big problems.
Sure.
We're now going to begin chipping away at this debt that we have. I think that we're not going to get to junk bond status.
Okay? And we're not going to have the soda tax, I bet. Yeah,
well, that's Cook County. But that's Cook County. But yeah, but the what has happened here is that we have been yanked back from the edge of the cliff. Now,
right.
Again, a lot of people will say we haven't been yanked far enough back. There's still a lot of problems. We still haven't addressed some fundamental issues. That's all true. It wasn't like, well, we're all done now. Now everything's fine in Illinois. Illinois still got in a world of hurt.
Sure.
But it's not, you know, plunging into the sea right now.
With these tax increases, do we feel this immediately? Do we feel this in April? When do we feel
this? We feel it immediately, assuming that our taxes are withheld.
Yeah.
It takes effect July 1st. Now, there was some argument whether it should just take effect on January 1st. But they
can't
agreed to.
Oh, you mean
so,
like back?
Well, I mean, the fact is that the taxes are still slightly less than they were back up until 2015.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that 5-year tax increase from 3% to 5%, and then that tax rolled back. And that's one of the things that got us into a lot of trouble, which was we allowed the income tax to roll back to 3.75%. But because we never got a budget, all of our spending was based on, you know, court orders and agreements and mandates and so on. So we were spending about $17 million more a day than we were bringing in. Because of this imbalance,
yeah,
and that's why things were getting so bad. That's why the credit houses were freaking out, which is like, hey, wait a minute, you guys, this is completely unsustainable,
sure.
And it was. I mean, and so, like I say, I think this tax increase, although it was unpopular, I think it was the right thing to do. And again, this was a tax increase that Rauner had agreed to in a larger context. He knows that we needed this tax increase. The state's going to run better under him because of this tax increase, but he doesn't have to own it at all.
Yeah,
and that's, you know, politically that can work to his advantage. He's going to have a lot of money to blast people for the Madigan tax increase.
When Bruce Rauner talks about term limits for politicians, is that aimed right at Mike Madigan?
Yeah, I think it is.
It is, right?
I think it's aimed at, yeah. I mean, basically, which is, and the thing is that first of all, any term limit amendment to the Constitution, any law, would probably not impact people who are there now, at least not for maybe 10 years or something.
Really?
Mike Madigan, I think, is 74. I'm not sure, but he's in his 70s.
He looks older. Sorry.
And he's not gonna,
he does.
You're not going to be able to get rid of Mike Madigan with any kind of term limit law. Because, I mean, eventually, if he happens to hang on forever, you might be able to, but probably not.
Yeah.
And so it's more of a, just, you know, people are angry at politicians, they don't like politicians, and term limit laws are popular for that reason. You know, I mean, I happen to think that people have the right to vote for who they want to vote for, as long as the candidates are qualified. So, you know, I don't think that term limits would solve our state's problems either.
Probably
way.
Not.
And so... What we have now is we have sort of a better position now going forward, and maybe we can deal with some of these things. Maybe we can negotiate on remaps and, you know, the property tax issue. Maybe there are ways that the parties can come together as long as there's not so much poison in the air. I mean, it seems like a very Pollyannish thing to say, but
so now that this is behind us, what is to be learned from this? Because I think 2 weeks ago when we were talking about this with you, I said, of the 50 states, how are 49 of them able to pull this off, but for some reason Illinois can't? So going forward, what did we learn from this 2.5-year experience?
Well, it's a good question. It seems to me that one of the things that we learned was that it does not pay when that these budget things are complicated enough that you can't throw in everything else on top of them to try to come to a resolution.
Yeah.
You can't hold the budget hostage for your pet ideas.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I think it pays off to treat each other with, when it's not actual campaign season, to treat each other with some dignity and respect around, you know, legislative bodies and governing. Because, you know, if it's always name-calling, if it's always campaigning, if it's always looking for this advantage, you just push people into a corner. I think the Democrats felt pushed into a corner by Rauner and his constant attacks on them as corrupt and sleazy. And it's like, you got to make a deal with these guys. Rauner won with like 50.4% of the vote. I mean, a bare majority of the popular vote did he win. and he doesn't have any, and he had super majorities against him in the Senate and the House. It's not a great bargaining position. So you got to work with these people, and they just didn't do that. So I'll have more to say, but how about next week?
Perfect. Let's say more next week. It's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. He'll say more next week. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Bill and Wendy, WGN.